Welcome to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Clint Ruckus.
I'm Rick Barraza.
Dan Fernandez is currently MIA doing some other stuff.
Great way to put it.
I know. Okay, so we have big news this week. Giant news. Let's go straight to it. Windows 8 release preview.
Fantastic.
Yes, so this is, it first went developer preview, consumer preview. Now this is release preview. It's one step away, hopefully, to the final release.
We're getting there.
Yeah. So you can download it. It's free for everyone right now. They have great videos on how to install it. Check out what's the newest of the new.
Some noticeable enhancements in the polish, right? Things when in desktop, when you go into desktop, the windows are so. As a designer, I really enjoyed that part. Right, a little bit more polish, nicer on the background. It's really coming together.
Yeah,
I feel
the a bunch of multi-monitor support. So I mean,
that was really nice.
Basically, everyone on Channel 9 has dual monitors. So for us, that was amazing. Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Check it out. Okay. Oops.
Hey.
I know. Hey, okay, so what's next is
Visual Studio 2012. So these two stories really go together. If you're a developer, which I assume you are because you're watching the show, the release of Windows needs to be followed along with the latest release candidate for Visual Studio. We've been playing with this for a while here. I really like the enhancements. Again, I tend to prioritize based on the interface. I like the changes that they've done on the release candidate. The addition of Judicious Color, I think. The first one got very, very stark. And then this one, they're kind of bringing it back more. When you're using Visual Studio, and as most of us do, we use it 12 hours a day, right? It's these little changes that you really
only
notice.
12?
Yeah. Well, I have a family. So. And I'm a designer. So that's the other half of the... So yeah, only 12 for me, 20, 23, not counting sleep for you. But yeah, I really enjoy it.
I sleep with a laptop open.
Oh, who doesn't?
Oh, yeah, I know. I always Visual Studio.
Absolutely.
The one big thing that I love is the new build mod thing, like how it changes the color.
That's really, especially doing multi-monitors, and as you're testing through that extra little bar of color, again, and it's a lot of these little tweaks, these enhancements, right? These nice choices of design, and not to go off on the design rant, really, but Metro is a lot about solving problems first and foremost. And I think they've really been coming a long way. They also wrote a blog post specifically addressing the interface changes that they did between the previous version and now the version that everybody can get. So download it, check it out. You're going to love it.
Awesome. So this is the Visual Studio blog now has basically, it's the blog network. So it basically shows you all the top blogs, if you will, on what's going on. So if you want to quickly jump to like the Visual Basic blog or the C# blog or the .NET framework blog, ALM for Brian Keller. I mean, all these places, like a lot of people aren't aware that each of these teams have blogs, and you can just go right there, boom, just right there.
Absolutely. I'm a big fan of this because especially this year, and we know just being in evangelism, the changes that are coming in, the changes in development, there are a lot of things where there are a lot of new tricks that you need to learn. Like here's one way of, here you were doing it this way before, now you're doing it this way. But there's also some higher level kind of paradigm changes in terms of how you think about these problems. So having a blog network that kind of lets you all go in all across the map, because there's so many new things and exciting things to learn all across the map.
I think there's also a lot of stuff that I'm not even aware of that exists.
Exactly.
And it's just like I go in and I'm like, oh my God, that was amazing. Like, I didn't know, for the longest time, I had no clue what snippets were. going on a conversation we had today. And
he was your little, that was Clippy.
That was Clippy.
All right, snippets.
Snippets. So it's like if you did WPF or Silverlight, you dependency properties. All you need to do is type PROPDP, hit tab twice, and it fills out everything for you. It's like magic. You start typing in what the property is and adjust everything. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know what they are. And it's one of those things where checking out a blog post, I was like, this is great.
Yeah. Just going through different blog posts is a great way to kind of get up to speed on so many of the broad changes that are going on everywhere. Absolutely.
Okay.
Next story. My favorite feature is creating storyboards with PowerPoint. So this is an interesting article. A lot of people are developers, and they kind of get it at that code level. Then there's such a broad spectrum now between designer and developer. So at some point, everybody is involved with design as a problem solving, right? And everything that everybody does, it affects development as well, right? So even if you're a developer, this is a good link. Creating storyboards with PowerPoint, it's a good way to sketch it out quickly in kind of this unifying language that we're talking about with Metro. I would probably advise against going straight from your storyboards and PowerPoint to finished styling. You probably always want to have a designer in there, especially with Metro, because there's a challenge of focusing on the problem and addressing the problem as fast and as simple and as comprehensively accessible as possible, right? And then on top of that, how do you bring in your brand, right? Yeah. So this whole issue, but storyboards, it's a critical part of building apps once you get to a certain size.
Yeah.
Everybody has PowerPoint.
And the nice thing here is a non-developer can, you know, create something that looks real or wireframe-ish, where typically I might just go straight in and start mocking stuff out with the real objects and then go, hey, check this out. Certain people can't do that, and that's what this allows those people to create.
Those non-developer, muggles.
Yes. I love that term. I really do. Okay. What's up next is being productive in Windows 8 background tasks. So imagine you want to do something like a Skype app.
Okay.
And the dilemma you run into is, how do you receive a call? So your app has to be able to do stuff in the background or stay up to date, like email. Well, it would be nice if my app can download email programmatically. And it's not live, but it can do work. So that's where background tasks come in. The article talks about doing stuff on AC power versus battery versus how much network.
Oh, that's interesting.
It actually throttles you network-wise. It throttles you CPU time-wise, where I'm like, how much work can you do in 1 second? So it's stuff like that. And it's really kind of interesting. I highly suggest, if you are planning to do background tasks, you just do a quick read on this on the blog post.
And it probably starts coming into play, and I have to read that blog post, you know, myself, but I would assume it starts coming into play when you need to be interacting more with live tiles, because you're constantly running you know, additional things in the background, so there has to be some leverage there, and that allows those live tiles to really shine, right? And, that's what I'm excited about. We all know tiles, you know, throw it in a box, but really it's there to solve a problem.
And then
you know?
Also
so that'll be great.
You have stuff like what's the difference between when your app is on the lock screen versus not on the lock screen, and all these things where they're trying to make your battery life as much up there as possible.
Absolutely.
It gives us a bit of a headache as on the back end trying to figure out how you pull off certain things, but I fully understand where they're going with it.
Absolutely. Real
world devices. I want my device to go like 80 hours.
It's all calculations per watt, as Herb Sutter says. Cost per pixel. So getting started, line of business apps, HTML5. So the screenshot here is for part four, but Bruce Kyle has really been on a tear here with this web series. I believe as of right now, he's up to part six. I enjoyed the entire series. Because it takes a high level, but then he jumps right into code, and it really goes over that entire line of business apps. But while he's doing a nice introduction all the way through. I'm really enjoying the series so far. I think he introduced Canvas very nicely, I believe, in part five, right? And he's going up this one, part four, specifically with Modernizer and jQuery, right?
Yeah. It's Modernizer, Polyfill, and Nope.
I think, I believe jQuery might have been six or two. I can't believe. But here, Modernizer. Again, a lot of these things, right? Modernizer. Some of us, we haven't touched web pages for years. So we remember HTML, right?
I am one of those people. I have realized
we've been C#.
I used to do ASP.NET, so I was always in HTML land. But then I basically became a client dev.
Yeah.
So I'm awesome at XAML now, and then it's like I go back and try to touch CSS. I'm like, this feels dirty.
I don't know. Exactly. So I enjoy these types of series because it is targeted to people like that. It's not again not muggle targeted. It's people.
Well, no,
you know,
I mean,
what's going on,
there are things nowadays like Modernizer. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it came out, and I'm like, this is awesome. Polyfill. Yeah. It's all about finding out what tools are out mm-hmm. there nowadays to make your life easier.
Yeah, that seems to be this growing trend, right? I mean, you and I, we're both very comfortable in C# and XAML, but it's been a while since we've touched HTML, but sometimes we have to touch it, right? We have to play with it. C++, DirectX 11, there's so many new things that everything's kind of becoming equal first citizen. I love these types of yep. Series that kind of get you up to speed on everything without requiring a full level of investment. You know, so great series. Check it out.
I'm getting back into touch with JavaScript for a little side thing I'm doing. I was shocked at where I have to use JavaScript.
Interesting. So, absolutely.
Okay. Speaking of websites, this is Howard Durkings shows you how to optimize your website. Now, this is kind of interesting because he goes in and it's like, well, I have a big page. Like, if my page is getting progressively larger, typically means like I'm throwing more data down, potentially more data in the back end. And how do you go and minimize your page size back to the person? Mm-hmm. And tips, tricks, et cetera, et cetera. It's a good video.
Yeah. Durkings, their whole group, right? Even John Galloway, they've been on a tear recently. John Galloway had a great post on his stuff as well.
Yep.
So that whole team has really been knocking it out of the park.
Now we're on Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week. So my Pick of the Week, this was, again, in the spirit of having fun, playing with code, experimenting. Here's fun with HTML5 Canvas, WebSocket, jQuery. You got to go picture in picture. I don't want to be seeing me that big.
I do.
Basically, it's a shared white space board. This is kind of like mid-level. I used to teach interactive design, right? If it's in Flash, okay, we're going to do something like this with Communication Server, yeah. right? Or if it's in Silverlight. This is almost like the Hello World example. But I really enjoyed that they're pulling it off, right? With WebSockets, jQuery, right? Using ASP.NET, a live whiteboard on the page app. I love these types of demos because it really takes it to that next level down of you see the entire problem and you have an entire solution.
I like this demo more than I like a chat server demo. Because they have conversation in there, but like with the chat server, it's not showing you how to do more complex data. You can do, if it's something that's a bit more complex, you can backpedal it into a chat server.
Mm-hmm.
Where I remember doing some socket stuff, it worked fine doing a chat server, but once we tried to do more than that, the code broke. So then that took lots of debugging.
Yeah, absolutely. So check this out if you're playing around with HTML5 or any of these great elements.
Okay. My Pick of the Week. This is on the Coding for Fun blog. They do occlusion with Connect. So, I mean,
it was clever.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, hey, I'm driving a car and a bunch of other stuff. It was just one of those cool little demos with Connect SDK that, I mean, hands out to these people.
Guys, yeah.
I was going to say students, kids.
I think there were students.
It
was a couple days ago when I saw this. Now, to kind of call it out here to make sure people don't miss it, right, is this is a general problem when you're doing AR tags. Because as the picture that they're showing, the camera has to see the tag, but if you block anything, right, all of a sudden doesn't know how to interact because there is that occlusion. So using that Connect to get a virtual representation of what the depth of elements actually are related to the tag, and then being able to do things exactly like that, right? Well, since they're at this depth and this tag is representing this virtual object, I can then occlude them inside of the car, pit. So that was a great idea, combining Connect's depth vision with AR tags, and they pulled it off well. Love to see more of this type of content out there from the community.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many cool things that are happening with Connect that it's hard to even keep up half the time.
So that's our job, Clint.
Keeping up at the time.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's all we have. So I'm Clint Rarkus.
Rick Barraza. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Download Windows 8.
Yeah.